America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. I'm Christian Osero. I am joined by my co-host, the guy with the flaming hot football takes here, Jay Binkley.
Like Cheetos.
Yeah. It leaves
your fingers sticking in.
Leaves that red residue on your fingers there. Yeah. Nobody wants that. But we got a lot of stuff here to talk about in this episode here. We finally are going to have some games.
Finally.
This weekend.
We're here.
Finally.
I know the Chiefs are on the commercial on 610 with the... I love it. The most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would be perfect to talk about this, but yes, the most wonderful time of the year is football season.
Yeah.
And we're here. There's no more waiting for it.
No more.
There's no more sitting there as, well, we got it in a couple weeks. Or No. We have it this weekend.
So,
we got high school football in Missouri.
Yes.
We got college football Saturday. We got football.
And football in Kansas, too, right?
It's a week later.
Kansas is a week later.
Okay. So it only starts a week later than Missouri.
That's weird because they start school a week
later. You got Liberty North and Lee Summit North battling it out, 1 and 2.
Hopefully it cools off a little bit because right now, I mean, it's like almost 100 degrees outside.
I know a lot of practices have been moved inside.
Yeah. Heat index has been, I think yesterday the heat index reached 118.
Yeah.
Except
for Lawrence is like, what, 130?
Yes, terrible. And then, like, there was like the air show yesterday with the Blue Angels. We could hear it from where we were at. And I think they said like almost 70 people were treated for heat related illness.
I feel bad for them.
Six people went to the hospital. Mm. So be careful out there in this heat. This has been a terrible week for the heat there. I think it's supposed to continue through next week.
Yeah, not quite as bad. Training camp's done, huh?
Exactly. Early,
well, they're still practicing.
They're still practicing. I'm sure they're inside.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to hit on a lot of topics here today. We're going to touch on the Michael Oher story because that has been very interesting. That actually came out right after we finished recording last week. I remember I was going to go pick up my girlfriend and her friends at the airport. And as I was waiting at the cell phone lot up there at the new KCI, I was reading the story because that's when it was first breaking. So we'll talk about that. We'll give you a preview on offensive linemen that you should be watching here in the coming season, especially now that games are going to start up here. So be looking out for that. Obviously, we're going to touch up on some of these guys that have been playing in the NFL as rookies from this past class in the spring, how they're going after preseason week two, plus starting to see there's some young guys. And there's some young guys over on the Kansas City Chiefs that are really starting to come out and break out with the opportunities they're being given. So we'll talk about there at the end of the show. But I want to talk about The top 25, AP top 25, came out last week. And now, as we go into week zero of the college football season, we got to talk about who we think are going to be the contenders and the pretenders. And I'll give you a quick rundown of this top 25. 25 through 21, you've got Iowa, you've got Tulane, you've got Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and North Carolina there between 25 and 21. Then 20 through 15, you have Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Oregon State, TCU, and Kansas State. 15 through 11, you have Oregon, you have Utah, Notre Dame, Tennessee, and Texas right there at number 11. And then for the top 10, you have Washington, Clemson, Florida State, Penn State, USC, LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, and then number one, you've got Georgia.
But I will say this, Chris. 17 of the last 19 AP preseason number one ranked teams failed to win the national title. Brett yeah. Murphy on Twitter reminded me of that, but it is an omen. Only Alabama in 2017, USC in 2004 did it. Georgia also trying to become the first three-peat champion since Minnesota, 34-36, according to Brett McMurphy.
So let's go through the top 25 here, and let's point out here. Let's just get it down here. Who are the legit contenders right now ranked in the top 25?
There's only a couple, right?
I don't think there's many.
No. We're thinking of four in the
playoffs. Obviously count Georgia in there.
Georgia's in there.
I think Michigan's in there, too.
Maybe. I mean, you know, you're breaking a new quarterback and things can go awry for you.
Yeah.
Alabama learned that.
Georgia's got so much talent. I think they can overcome any issues with inexperience that they've got on their
roster. As far as the top four with Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and Alabama, if we sit with the top four, I really like Michigan. And the news today that Harbaugh, because it looked like initially he was going to get 4-game suspension at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, because there was a deal.
Big deal.
And then that got rejected.
It got rejected into another deal. So essentially, Harbaugh loses games against East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green. You and I could coach victories for Michigan.
I think so too, yeah.
In those games.
We should actually call them and see if they want our services for 3 weeks.
Absolutely the best running game in the nation at Michigan.
Yep, two running backs.
I mean, just
two running backs that could probably be drafted on the first 2 days.
100%. JJ McCarthy, the quarterback.
Yeah.
Shows some accuracy problems at times, but yeah. What a big arm.
He'll be drafted. And probably third day pick.
It could be a guy that's second round.
Could be.
It could even bounce himself higher depending on how Michigan finishes. And Ohio State at 3 and Alabama 4. When you think about top four, would I be shocked at all to see three of these teams in the postseason?
No. I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's not like we look at these and say, one of these teams doesn't belong, because I think they all belong. Now, can Georgia beat that streak of, 17 last 19, being ranked preseason number one? Can they hold on that? Because you have LSU coming strong with Jalen Daniels there, the Heisman candidate quarterback at number 5. Caleb Williams, Heisman Trophy, sitting at 6. And then you have Penn State, Florida State, and Clemson. Okay. A couple of those teams won't be there. Like Penn State could fall. Florida State is a lot of inconsistency to be a top 10 team. And Clemson, can they bounce back this year? And then, of course, with Washington sitting there at the end. But the top 10, I like. I am skeptical because I do want to see something on the Penn State and Florida State to say, all right, this is a top 10 team.
So here are the teams I think are the real contenders. Like, I think have a really good chance to go to the college football
playoff. I could pick 4 out of 6 of these.
Yeah, Georgia for sure. Michigan for sure. Ohio State, I think, is a very, very strong chance. Even if they don't win the Big Ten, I think they got a really good chance. Really super talented. Always a top 5 team in terms of recruiting. This team's absolutely going to be in the mix. Even if they lose 2 games, obviously that's different. But if they just lose the Michigan game, I don't think that's going to hurt them that much. Alabama, for sure, is going to be in that mix. Always, as long as you got Nick Saban, as long as he's one of the top recruiting coaches out there, you're good.
And Kyle McCord, a quarterback, just fill right in with CJ Stroud.
Yeah, exactly. LSU, absolutely. I mean, again, you brought up Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback. Brian Kelly has been a very good recruiter throughout his career. He was decent at Cincinnati, but he was very good at Notre Dame.
Although I say Kyle McCord, but he hasn't officially named his starter.
Yeah, exactly.
Right today.
Yeah, but like they've got a lot of talent there at LSU, so certainly going to be in the mix. But I think you would have to see a ton of improvement from that team, a ton of consistency from that team for them to be a real contender. USC, I think, has a very strong chance. Obviously, you know, got Caleb Williams there, and you think
great head coach.
Yeah, Lincoln great Riley. Head coach in Lincoln Riley. You think that they would be able to dominate or at least be on top of the Pac-12. They didn't win it last year. That was Utah that won it. They certainly have a chance. They could very well see themselves in the playoff for sure. I think they'll get the benefit of the doubt because Lincoln Riley, because Caleb Williams. Outside of that, I don't see any other teams in the top 10 that I would consider a real national title contender. That's it.
Like Florida State's got the talent. We know that. We talked about on the defense last week.
I don't trust the coaching, though.
The coaching is, like, again, I think Penn State and Florida State, when you look back at it at the beginning of the top 10, preseason top 10, you think, did they really deserve to be in the top 10? But you take that six, and I'm taking the top four. I think the AP got it right, because then you have, when you look at, USC deserves to be in there, because I could see USC, you know, they will slip up. They always find a way to slip up. We'll see if they can actually slip up this year, but they did last year, because Caleb Williams, he didn't find himself in the playoffs.
Yep.
And he could have, easily could have been in the playoffs last year. And then a very good LSU team that I think a lot of people are sleeping on.
Yeah, I think, again, it's just about
with the Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback and Daniels.
It's about them, actually, because like it's easy for us to talk about Heisman Trophy candidate right now in August, but things change. By the time October hits, we'll see if he's actually lived up to the hype. We'll see if the team has really developed to a point where they can live up to that.
Quarterbacks,
hype.
You say, okay, who's the guy? It's obviously, Caleb Williams there. You have Carson Beck going in at Georgia. So you're looking at these quarterback situations saying, all right, who's going to be the quarterback? Because you're replacing Stetson Bennett, back-to-back winners, and Carson Beck. So I don't know. And there's the quarterback battle at Ohio State still. I'm saying McCord's it, but he may not be it. So,
yeah, I mean, they got a battle going on. So, you think by the end of September they should figure that one out.
But Georgia has named Carson Beck.
Yeah, yeah. But again, we know that could change if say, for instance, he doesn't quite live up to the hype that they're hoping for him. They could obviously bench him and start someone else. So they are definitely in that situation where they're still trying to figure out who's the best at that position. But the thing is, they got so much talent around there, that situation, that they don't have to worry about there being growing pains like a lot of other teams would do, because you got Bowers, because you got that great defense, because you're always one of the top five, top three recruiting classes in college football. You don't have to worry about that.
And with Ohio State, it's about the receivers.
Yeah.
And it's about Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, yeah. And that's really going to help them out there.
Because can he win the Heisman? I mean, Devontae Smith won it in 2020. It's not like it's out of the question for receivers to win.
Marvin Harrison Jr. will be in the mix for Heisman the entire year, because he's going to be great again this year. And if that team succeeds, I think he's going to get credit more than anyone else, just because he's been on the radar for the NFL since last season. Like last season, he was the best wide receiver on that team, even though they had what ended up being the top receiver taken in the draft.
And Amika Ibuka,
Jackson Smith, and
he's the first round. Why they have two first round wide receivers at Ohio State?
Yeah, and Ibuka is going to be a guy that is going to be talked about a lot too, because he's going to end up being that secondary, like Chris Olave was.
And to I like Garrett him. Wilson. He's 6'1", 205, 210.
All those guys in this receiver class are like the ideal size that you talk about. They're loaded. So out of the top 25, which teams do you think could be in a position to get upset early and knocked out of the picture pretty quickly? Because there's a few teams I look at. Like one team I'm looking at very early on could be in a tough position is North Carolina. I know Drake May's there. I know he's a top quarterback prospect, probably the second ranked quarterback in this class, right behind Caleb Williams. I don't think North Carolina has gotten better. They have gotten better recruiting over the years. Like certainly, like Mac Brown has done so much there to help out their recruiting, but at the same time, they're not an elite recruiting team. They're not a team that's going out here and recruiting at the level of a Georgia or an Oregon or an Alabama. They just recruit well. And you're facing off against an SEC team in South Carolina. SEC teams generally, unless you're Vanderbilt or Mizzou, you're generally going to recruit very well, usually top 30. And now you are facing against very good talent that is always facing great teams pretty much every single week, unless they go non-con. And I think there's a very good chance that North Carolina very early, if Drake May gets, if he makes some mistakes early, if he feels pressure trying to push himself up to being that top recruit, that top draft pick, it could be a situation where they get trapped early on.
Like Sam Howell a ton today.
Yeah. Remember Sam Howell was a guy that was projected to be a potential first round pick, and he ended up falling to the fourth round?
Yeah.
So it happens.
He's starting for Washington. He's the Commander's starting quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. He's starting for Washington now, but he was certainly a guy that fell pretty drastic. Actually, he was a third round pick, I think. But
Sam Howell?
Yeah. I think he was third round.
I think you get that right.
But yeah, he was a guy that was projected to be probably mid first round, ended up falling. So
fifth round. He's actually fifth round.
Oh, yeah. I was way off. So yeah.
44.
But that was a guy that was thought to be much higher than he ended up being. So I think very much North Carolina could be on upset alert very early against South Carolina. Another team I'm looking at, TCU, number 17. They're facing Colorado. And Shedeur Sanders, who is one of the guys on that list of potential first-round quarterbacks.
Top 10 Heisman candidate.
Yeah, top 10 Heisman candidate. Playing at a Power 5 school. There's like mild expectations, I think, for Colorado this year. I think that Colorado could very well, I mean, this is going to be in Colorado. I think this could be a situation where they could very well upset a TCU that has lost a lot of talent from that national championship team. Quentin Johnston gone, Max Duggan gone. And now you start looking at that roster, and they didn't recruit as well as you would like for a team that was in the national championship game. Did not. Right now, I think their recruiting class is down there in like the 50s?
I think Georgia just did some bad, bad things to them in that title game.
They did.
They went as far as they could, but they just
you got to give Sonny Dykes a lot of credit for doing what he did with that roster, because I don't think anybody saw TCU going
into close
doing
games
what they were
throughout doing. Different times, and then of course you saw what Kansas State did to them at the end. But
yeah, I mean I think we could say that TCU probably overperformed much of what they were going to do from the beginning of the season. I think they kind of overperformed their expectations. And I think now is probably the time they kind of come back to earth. And this would be a nice win for Deion Sanders, new head coach at Colorado, because you're facing off against a team that's coming off of a national championship game berth. So that's a team I look at for sure to be on upset watch. This might sound homerish here. Utah, number 14, facing against my Florida Gators.
Future Big 12 Utah.
Yeah, future Big 12 Utah.
Against the Swamp Kings.
Yeah, the Swamp Kings, yeah. Unfortunately, no Urban Meyer there. Actually, that's probably fortunate now. I kind of hate Urban Meyer now, especially you start hearing about the stuff in Jacksonville.
Some guys just cut out for college, man.
Yeah, some guys are just college coaches. Yeah, some guys are not made for the NFL, and he surely was
Nick
one of those
Saban
guys.
Nick Saban didn't last in the NFL either.
No, 2 years he was out. I think Florida, though. There's no expectations on Florida this year. None. They got Graham Mertz. They just named him as their starting quarterback last year.
Former Bishop Miege
quarterback here from Kansas City.
He was there, but he went to Blue Valley North.
Yeah, okay.
Mertz. Yeah, I think that's where he finished up.
Oh, he finished at Blue Valley North. Okay.
That's how good Bishop Miege is. Was he at Miege? I think he was at Miege.
Did he finish?
No, he finished at Miege. No, he won a title at Blue Valley North with Andy Sims at coach.
Okay. Yeah, because we
then went to Wisconsin.
Was his senior year when we were doing a high school show in 16?
It was Blue Valley, Blue Valley North,
okay. Yeah, we were doing a high school football show, and he was one of the guys we were covering back then. That was 2016.
I've always rooted for that kid.
Yeah, me too. And I'll be rooting for him more now since he's the starting quarterback for my Florida Gators. Florida doesn't have a lot of expectations this year. A lot of people think, I think the over-under right now is 5.5 wins for him this year. I think they hit the over just slightly, probably 7 wins. And early on against a Utah team that has a lot of pressure coming off of winning the Pac-12 last year. This is their last year in the Pac-12. And Florida is just, they've recruited very well, even though they haven't had a lot of stability at the head coaching spot. They've recruited very well. They got a lot of talent there. And I think there's a very good chance they could they could get a win here in Utah against a Utah team that has way more expectations than they
do. Kyle Whittingham's a hell of a coach, man. Yeah. He's a very underrated, he's a very most coach. Underrated coach in the West Coast.
Yeah, and but I think you're starting to see Billy Napier really start to put his stamp on that Florida team. Right now, they have the third-ranked recruiting class in college for 2024. They have done a very good job. They got this kid named DJ Lagway, who's, you know, five-star quarterback there out of Georgia. They've got a lot of talent there coming up, and they're going to really start to find an identity this year. I would watch out for them in this Utah game here. Then LSU and Florida State are going to be playing each other in week zero.
I think
probably your biggest game of the weekend.
I think LSU is the sleeper in the SEC.
Yeah, and I think they're going to
made the title game. They're getting Brian Kelly. They're getting the second year in his offense where he's going, Heisman Trophy candidate, and Daniels at quarterback. I like LSU a lot here at 5. I would not be shocked at all if they're there at the end. Another team I think is underrated.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Is Kansas State. Didn't show up on some people's ballots. Ended up finishing 16 in the AP. Will Howard, man, he's coming into his own. And I like what Klieman's doing because he doesn't look back. He always goes forward. I love the way that team's doing things. Heck, even during the pandemic, they were playing when they didn't have to. They didn't have the threshold, the allotment, but were still playing. But I think K-State at 16, I think they can slide up to 10. And Florida State, as much as I like them, with the quarterback situation, Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
I like the wide receiver situation, our 6'7" receiver out there at Florida State as well. And Johnny Wilson, 6'7".
So,
and Florida State's got the best pass rusher in the country on defense, a guy that's going to go, I think, in the top five next year as far as Jared Verse getting to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's the best pass rusher in college football. Again, I think they have pieces that I really like. I'm going to like watching Florida State play this year. I just don't know if consistently they can keep it together, but I do like them ahead of Penn State.
Yeah,
Penn State's a team I could see slipping down and K-State jumping up.
I agree with you on K-State. I think K-State's got a really good chance to work their way up. I don't think they're like a contender or anything, but I think they'll work their way up. LSU, I think, is, you know, I think they'll kind of stick around where they are. I think Florida State's going to fall. I like the pieces,
but
I don't like the coaching. I don't like the coaching, and that's the issue for me. Is like, to be honest, like, who was the last great coach the Florida State really had?
Bobby Bowden.
No, Jimbo Fisher.
Well, yeah,
Jimbo Fisher was great. Yeah, Jimbo Fisher was great. That's it.
Yeah,
like
Jimbo.
When they had Willie Taggart, not that good. Like Willie Taggart was terrible. I knew when Willie Taggart got hired there after he went like 8-5 or 7-6 with Oregon. I was like, oh, he's not gonna last there very long, and he didn't. Like 2 years, he was gone. Now you got Mike Norvell. Mike Norvell's cool. Mike Norvell's not an elite recruiter, though, and I don't think he is an elite coach at all. And I just think that it's going to come down to a situation where there are going to be expectations there. A lot of people looking at them as being the top, them or Clemson, top in the ACC. And I just don't believe that they have what it takes from a coaching standpoint to overcome what you would have to be able to put yourself in that contention there. I think very well LSU is probably going to win that game. And then I think at the end of that, when once we start getting to their actual conference schedule, I think they might, or they're probably good for a couple of slip ups there. And next thing you know, they're playing in like one of the early January bowls. And at that, you know how it is. Like Jared Verse probably won't play. Johnny Wilson Jr. probably won't play. They're going to preserve themselves for the draft. And, you know, from there, they're going to have to start over. So I'm just not quite sold on Florida State right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. Because Jimbo did win a national title there back in 2013. Bobby had, you know, the consistency longer. I will say this. Look for Deion Sanders. If Deion Sanders has a great year, I know Colorado's going to the Big 12.
Deion will be at the top of their list.
To me, that's the Florida State next head coach.
Me too. I agree with you on that. I think that's the most obvious thing. It's his alma mater. And on top of that, he'd go into Florida, which is a hotbed for recruiting. It's one of the top three states for recruiting in the country, besides Texas and California. He's absolutely going to be at the top of that list. That's why I think he and those players at Florida, at Colorado, are going to be really motivated, because I think for him, if he has a great year at Colorado, he can get bought out by Florida State if they don't really quite pan out. And next thing you know, he's down there in Tallahassee trying to win.
11, 12, and 13 are interesting to me because Texas. He's a Heisman candidate. He's moving up into the first round.
I'm not buying Ewers.
Joe Milton at Tennessee, strong arm.
Yep.
The quarterback there. So I don't think Tennessee slips. And Notre Dame, because Sam Hartman's there. They played, he's like the Perry Ellis of college football, you know, the college football
he's
version.
He's been there forever.
He was there like 5 years at Wake Forest. Now he's the starting quarterback at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, if they get a win over Navy in Dublin, but Navy could step up and surprise them too.
Very well, yeah.
Easily could.
So I want to go into
which is one of our games this weekend.
Yeah, one of our games this weekend. Yeah. So I want to get into the Michael Orr story. For those of you who don't know, you know, obviously Michael Orr was the subject of the movie and the book, The Blind Side. And he was a kid who was basically homeless. Parents were, he was orphaned at a young age, and so he ended up going through the foster system, not a very good system, so he ended up basically homeless out on the streets. The Tuohy family came in, took him in, and he basically kind of worked his way up really quickly, became a top recruit. He was playing football and basketball, became a top offensive tackle recruit. Ended up committing and playing for the University of Mississippi, and then eventually was drafted first round, right? He was the first round pick for the Baltimore Ravens, and had a decent little career. Was never like a superstar player or anything, but had a decent career. And now he's 37 years old, out of the league for a few years now.
Yeah, the Ravens took him in the first round.
Yep, Ravens. And so last Monday, after we finished recording, sitting at the cell phone lot at the airport, and I read on Twitter.
Good.
Oh, yeah. It was
you're supposed to be, right?
I had to be over there. I was the cell phone lot.
Yeah.
Luckily, it wasn't too bad over there. There wasn't a whole lot of traffic getting in and out of the airport there. It was 5 o'clock, so I thought it was going to be worse, but it was actually great getting in and out. But there's this revelation that's come out that Michael Orr is petitioning a court to end the conservatorship that the Tuohy family has over him, because he says that they basically have been making money off of his name and likeness without giving him much of anything in terms of a split from that. And at 37 years old, basically he was misled into thinking that he was adopted by them, when in fact they just placed a conservatorship over him so they can make money off of him.
Which he signed at 18, which he probably signed, know he's signing.
Yeah, 3 months after he turned 18, he signed over his rights to them, and they became his conservators, and basically he has not had full control over his name, image, and likeness since then. So what's your reaction to that whole story there? Because there's a lot of things coming out there. They've kind of denied that they haven't given him anything from the conservatorship. And the author of The Blind Side was like, oh, there's no way that that's true. He's the only person. They didn't outright deny anything.
Has Sandra Bullock weighed in?
Yeah, I don't think Sandra Bullock has. I think
she won an Oscar for that, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She did win an Oscar from that movie, which that movie was a little weird. But what is your reaction to that story?
I'm disappointed. I love the movie. I love the concept of it. I love the story of it. I thought it was cool. I thought it was a great story. About someone finding a home, getting into the family and stuff like that. I guess at first, I was blindsided by it. No pun intended.
That's terrible.
No,
it is.
But what else am I going to say? Because I was blindsided. Terrible. Were you blindsided by it?
No.
I thought it was a great story. And all of a sudden, you find out it's not a great story. It's like, you can tell me the rookie really didn't throw that baseball almost 100 miles an hour?
There's been some people questioning the validity of that story for a few years now.
But I enjoyed it.
It is. I understand why people enjoy it. Yeah.
I thought it was a great story. So I guess the whole thing of it, it's like, you can't have everything perfect. I thought everything was perfect in the story, but who knows? And again, everything's alleged between both of them. Who knew what? Hopefully Michael kept his money because
I hope so too. I really hope so too.
He played for the Titans and the Panthers after that, but they're definitely rich. The fast food business, isn't that what they're in?
Yeah. They actually have a restaurant down there in Mississippi. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just initially I would take his side.
Yeah.
Because you're looking for a home and you think you've got it and you're kind of disappointed by it. So that part of it, I do, but I don't know the inner workings on who told him what. I understand, listen, he's a young, impressionable age. I'm sure he could sign anything or not know anything or not know everything. But this sucks because it was such a great story. This is one of the greatest, football stories you hear. Like, here's a guy that needed a place. They took him in. He ends up being a first-round pick, went to Ole Miss, did his deal. So hearing the whole story, it kind of took me back a little bit because sometimes I guess things just aren't what they seem, Chris.
Yeah,
I want to believe them, but I still don't know 100%.
I understand. Here's what I think. I do believe they gave him a cut of some of that stuff, but from their point of view, they said that they split the money five ways. Now think about that. They split it between the parents, two kids, and then Orr. Why did the kids get money?
He deserved all of it.
Why did the parents get the money?
He's the first round pick. He's the whole reason that's a story. Listen,
and he was an adult.
Families
when that
take in
came out.
Kids all the time. Yeah. I mean, it happens. But this was a success story.
Yeah, he was an adult when that money came in. The parents shouldn't have taken a cut. It'd be different if Orr said, like, here, you guys take a cut of this. That's cool. But like, there's no reason why everybody else should have gotten a cut of that.
And they didn't need the money.
They were good. They were well off financially. Yep. In Michael Orr's career playing in the NFL, he made $34 million total. Yep. So, I mean, you make $34 million in your career. I mean, at taxes, agent fees, and stuff like that. Let's say that he took home about $17, $18 million after all of that. That's still a very, very good income that you take in during your career.
I don't know what they're worth, but I mean, you'd have to think that's very similar.
You'd have to think that they've made a good amount of money off of him. I do believe they gave him a cut of that stuff, but the thing is, did they deserve a cut of that stuff? I don't think they did.
Well, it's before Neil went wild, man. He could have really banked it.
Yeah, so I'm saying he could have really banked. And then, you know what would have happened? They would have taken a cut out of that, too. It's good that they are now working to end their conservatorship. But why would you have a conservatorship over a guy who's been in adulthood for almost 20 years?
I'm surprised he still has it.
That's ridiculous. Not only that, but you lied to him. He didn't know that they weren't his adoptive parents until earlier this year.
Which has got to be a shock for anybody.
Yeah. Think about the feelings of betrayal you feel.
Oh, I know.
As a kid who grew up basically without parentage, and his family takes you in and tells you, does all these nice things for you and tell we're going to adopt you, and you find out that they're just taking advantage of you for money based on what you found. That's got to hurt so much, especially when they've basically been in your life for 20 years now, and you find out that it looks like all of that was a lie. I feel bad for Orr, and it kind of infuriates me that you would have these people taking advantage of this kid when all this kid wants is a family. And then the people he finds that he could call family seemingly take it.
This whole situation sucks.
It sucks. And I hope there's a good resolution to it. And I really, really hope that the Twohy family doesn't get involved with any of
it. It's going to be a legal proceeding for the profits, the other compensatory money made.
Yeah. And I really hope, and this is what I really hope the NCAA makes sure that they kind of step in on this as well and make sure that this doesn't happen to any other kids out there, especially with NIL being paid out now. Because I could foresee other families doing this, looking to try to get a quick buck.
But how can he not know that they took all the money for the? But you got no royalties
because he's a kid.
But he got no royalties on the money on
he's
the movie.
A kid.
I mean, you would think.
Think about how many kids.
I know, but his agent going forward, like, hey man, where's that money?
His agent. His agent though is agents different from like a financial advisor.
I know, but your royalties, man.
Yeah, an agent's different
if you're
from
a movie,
financial
you get royalties
advisor.
Coming.
We think about it, man. Like this kid didn't come from a very good background. Didn't come from a good upbringing. Probably didn't learn financial responsibility. And if you don't learn that stuff, how are you supposed to learn? Yeah. If you weren't taught that, how are you supposed to learn? So at the end of the day, he trusted people and they backstabbed him based on what it sounds like.
Well, it's a good lesson for anybody, which is tough.
Get a financial advisor. Anybody.
And this is one of the dangers of NIL that we've talked about too,
yes.
Going forward. Because you need an accountant, man.
Yes.
You need somebody that can account for the cash you're getting.
Yes.
Because the IRS eventually will want it.
Exactly. So,
and you need to have that money there that you can pay back.
Exactly. So get you a financial advisor that you trust. Because some of these people get financial advisors and they get ripped off by them.
Yeah.
Get a financial advisor you could trust with a reputation from other athletes that this person is trustworthy and they know what they're doing. And then after that, let them go out there and make sure that they're handling and helping guide you in the right way to handle your finances. Because a lot of these guys don't learn that in the schools that they come from. So hopefully everything ends up turning out well for Orr. Hopefully Orr is able to get some of that cash back. And I hope that he's able to make money off of his likeness in a way that'll be good for him and his family in the future, because this is a bad story all around.
And what they said was, is the Twohys, this is from Yahoo, that they feared taking in Michael Orr might be construed as an act of bribery rather than parental love if he chose to play for their alma mater. By NCAA rules, the Twohys would have been regarded as Ole Miss boosters because of their significant donations to their alma mater. So, I don't know, man. It sounds like a complete headache.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot
with
of...
They were worried about the NCAA and what they thought, because here they take him in and he goes and plays for their alma mater.
But the thing is, like, why would they still have the conservatorship?
And his dad played the conservatorship dad played Ole Miss.
Yeah. But my thing is, like, why is the conservatorship still in place, though? He's 37 years old.
That should not be happening.
Yeah. And why are they taking basically what would account to like four parts, splitting part of that money four ways and then giving him his cut in the fifth part there, splitting that money five ways? If it's his money from the Blind Side, why are they taking any money off of that? Why do they deserve any of that profit? That should be his. He's an adult. That's his money. If he wants to screw off with it, it's his money. It's not your money. So I just hate that part of it there. And that's the reason. That's the thing that really kind of irks me about this whole situation. I want to get into our preview for offensive linemen here. As we get into the 2024 class of the NFL draft, we've got a few guys I think Chiefs fans should be looking out for, because I think there are some notable names here that the Chiefs could be looking for next year, because Donovan Smith is kind of seems like he's a one-year rental unless they decide to give him an extension. He's looked very good thus far in preseason, but
Juwan Taylor, you don't have to worry about that.
Juwan Taylor's looked very good on the right tackle side as well.
Who can move over to left.
Yeah, he can move over to left, so they could be in. And Wanye Morris is a guy that could end up being a starting right tackle in the future.
And Tooney could opt out this year, but he's still signed through 2025, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about Tooney so much, because I think that I think Allegretti, they can plug and play there at that left guard spot, and they'll be fine because he's played there. He played some there last year when Tooney was hurt, and I think he was good. So I'm not quite worried about that spot. To me, though, I think there's a good chance that at least one of your, you're going to need to fill at least one of your tackle spots. Probably the right tackle if Smith, Donovan Smith is done after the year, and then they move Juwan over to left. So we got to look at some of these guys who are going to be available as tackles in the coming draft. What are some names that pop out to you for that the offensive tackle class for 2024?
Well, I think one of them, you always have to look at Alt.
Joe Alt.
Because Notre of Dame? The top 10 pick, you know. Yeah, Notre Dame, because his dad played for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So clearly there's a connection there, and the Chiefs have to like that at a certain point. That would be my top one there, to be honest with you. And whether it be top 10 or not, but again, if you're top 10, you're thinking Brock Bowers, somebody like that. But Joe Alt at Notre Dame, you're going to get a chance to watch him against in Dublin this week against Navy. J.C. Latham at Alabama.
Yep.
At tackle.
Is it the Penn State kid?
Mims at okay. Georgia, Marius okay. Mims.
Yeah, Marius. Yeah, Mims, yeah.
The Penn State kid's Kingsley.
Sumiata. Yeah, there's King. There's no, Sumiata? That's BYU. I think that's BYU.
Oh, that's BYU.
Kingsley Suamatala. Then Penn State's got a kid named Olumuyiwa Fashanu, who I've seen people put him above Joe Alt. I've seen people put him above Joe Alt.
No names actually got two, because Jack Nelson as well.
Yeah, there's Jack Nelson there out of Wisconsin. That's another guy. Zion Nelson out of Miami has been another guy I've
Blake
seen.
Fisher at Notre Dame. So yes. Blake Fisher on one side, Alt on the other.
Yeah, so there's two options there at tackle for the Chiefs if they want to go tackle out of Notre Dame, though. I think in that case, Fisher's more like a second or third round, not quite first. Graham Barton out of Duke is another name that I've heard thrown out there as a tackle option as well, potential first-round guy. I think this is actually, this might be.
Yeah, Graham Barton's got some good size on him too.
I know, yeah, he's got good size. Like, all these guys do. Like Olumuyiwa Fashanu out of Penn State, 6'6", 320. Massive, massive. Kingsley Suamatala out of BYU, 6'6", 325. Another guy, Miami's another team that has two good tackles out of there. I don't think this guy's is going to be a first round guy, but he could be like a good second day guy. Francis Maui-Goa out of Miami, 6'6", 341. They got massive guys in this draft class.
Well, Miami's loaded on offensive line.
They got massive guys in this draft class here. I really think that if the Chiefs really want to go offensive line early, like first round, this might be the year to do it. Especially if we start to see some of those young receivers develop, like a Rashee Rice, a Sky Moore, a Kadarius Toney type, then early next year, instead of them pushing to try and trade up and you know, get a receiver if it's not quite a deep class, they could actually sit back where they are, wherever they are. If they're picking 32 next year, that'd be great. And then they could go offensive tackle and really kind of shore up their offensive line for the next few years, because you got Juwan Taylor for three more years after this season. And you obviously, if you take a tackle in the first round, you got him 4 years, fifth year option. So now you've got a few years before you even got to pay him that $20+ million that offensive tackles are going for if he pans out as a really good tackle. This could be the year that the Chiefs kind of solidify their line for the next at least 3 years.
They're going to have to look at something, because you get a young offensive line. You can't pay everybody. Like when you go to pay Creed, and then after the 24 season, Trey Smith's a free agent. So you have to deal with the Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith. You're going to have to go out and figure who you're going to sign.
Well, both those guys are going to come up after the 24 season.
Yeah, the 24 season. So you have to decide, you're going to keep them both, or you're going to keep one, because Trey Smith keeps going and going. And I wouldn't be surprised if he starts getting that club, getting some all-pro mentions.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Trey Smith prices himself out of the Chiefs territory.
100%.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. There's going to be options there. But I think, like, at this moment, if you're the Chiefs, you got to prioritize tackle. That's kind of, that's kind of shaping up. It's kind of been an issue for the last few years. Obviously, they had the overhaul after the 20 season. Schwartz basically done with football. Eric Fisher played a year in Indy. And so you had to replace your tackles, and you went Orlando Brown Jr., and then you tried Mike Rimmers, eventually settled on Andrew Wiley. And after that, last year, Orlando Brown Jr., Andrew Wiley, weren't so great at their positions. They kind of struggled there. You had to help them out a lot with chips from Jerick McKinnon and Noah Gray. And it worked. You won a Super Bowl. But I don't think you can just rely on that all the time. It's really hard, especially because I think teams are going to eventually figure out how to counter the chip. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to work around that.
Yeah,
and that's why I think it's good that you have tackles that you don't need that have to strategize all this help.
Yeah, watch Notre Dame game this weekend with Blake Fisher on one side and Joe Alt on the other side. I mean, that's a stout offensive line.
Yeah.
Two guys that'll, you know, Alt will be a top 10 pick, I do believe. Fisher, not
probably
sure.
Later first round, maybe.
Later first or early or second, second round.
Yeah. Early second, yeah. I agree with you. I think that I think the Chiefs are going to have a lot of good, healthy options for what they could do with at least one of those tackle spots. So let's get to preseason week number two. One more week of preseason football this weekend. Most of the starters will not be playing this weekend. I think the only starter I've seen that's going to play this weekend is Aaron Rodgers for the Jets in their annual game against the Giants.
Which is weird.
Which is weird because it's the last preseason game of the year.
Let me ask you this, though, too. So Anthony Richardson, your Florida guy.
Yes.
Gets the treatment.
He did. He did not play week two.
Wore street clothes, I do believe.
Yeah, he did play week two.
All right. And then you got a guy like Mahomes after playing on a terrible field in Arizona
Is
that the right decision? I don't think it was. I think he should at least taken a series or two.
Anthony Richardson should be playing this coming weekend.
As a rookie, I mean, come on.
It's not even just that. He has not played very much football in his career since high school. When he was in college, he was only a starter for 13 games.
He got the treatment, man.
They gave him an opportunity to win the job in 2021. He was not good enough to win in 2021. In 22, he basically had the job by default. That's the reason why Emory Jones transferred to Arizona State. And he never really showed that he was a superstar player. He showed spurts of it here and there, but not consistently at Florida. That's the reason why there were so many question marks about where he would be drafted at. And then he solidified his position with that great combine that he had back in February. I personally think he should be playing as many games as possible so that he can get as many reps and get used to playing NFL-style football. Because I was asked this weekend at a pool party. It's like you got a player that you draft out of college in baseball. You put them in AAA and they play there for, AA, and they play there for a month. And then after that month, you call them up to the major leagues and say, here, now try to hit major league hitting. But they were hitting barely above the Mendoza line in AA. Like, is that really the best idea?
Probably not. Did you see where the Texans and was it the Saints? They were going to have a joint practice this week and they called it off. Like, hey, we'll just play the preseason.
Yeah.
That just call it off. But we saw the number one and number two pick go that had much better week twos had better runs at the quarterback position for week two. Week two is the dress rehearsal, man. And listen, I hate preseason football.
You sent out the football is back tweet.
I enjoy it. All right.
During the Hall of Fame game.
I don't want to see guys get hurt either. Like, I was concerned about the Chiefs in Arizona.
Isaiah Bolden for the Patriots. They canceled the rest of that game after he got concussed and got carted off the field. Yeah, you worry about injuries in those games. Yeah.
I mean, you know, my guy Stetson Bennett, rolling with the Rams. He did throw a pick six, though, I'll be honest with you. But he played like three quarters.
Yeah, he did.
Against the Raiders. Nathan O'Connell, everybody's talking about him out of Purdue for the Raiders.
He's really good for the Raiders.
Looking like maybe the best quarterback out there.
He's been the best preseason rookie quarterback,
We saw Clayton Toon out of Arizona.
Didn't look great. He struggled against that Chiefs.
You get to see
Dorian
Thompson Robinson this week. You get to see him against the Chiefs.
Yeah, DTR's looked very good in the preseason thus far. Like, he looks like a very solid backup quarterback to Deshaun. I
some Tanner McKee with Philly.
Yeah, I'm the one game that Anthony Richardson played in, I think you saw why you should be worried about him, but I think you also saw why you should be excited about his potential, because he did make some plays with his legs and his arm, did make some tough throws. He had a really good corner out throw that he made. It's just he hasn't played enough football, and I think he's going to make a lot of mistakes this year. And I just don't want the Colts to be, he sucks. And then 2 years from now, they're looking for another quarterback because they're terrible. And, You know,
it's the six or seven straight years that they've had a different starting quarterback.
Yeah, because like, what happens if they're the worst team in football? What, and it'd be tough because the Cardinals are bad.
At the end of Lock, then you got Rivers thrown in there, and
like, because the Cardinals are a bad team. Wins. Cardinals could very well be in play for that number one. But what if the Colts get the number one? You got Caleb Williams sitting there, and he looks like a surefire superstar. And you've got this developmental guy in Anthony Richardson. It could very well be a Josh Rosen type situation where he gets traded after 1 year, and now they're, you know, he's having to start over with a new team, new offense, new terminology, and the Colts go another direction. I don't want that to happen to Anthony, so I'm kind of worried about that situation.
Well, you look at what they've had since Andrew Luck.
It's been bad.
Matt Hasselbeck, the Josh Freeman, Andrew Luck year there. Then then Jacoby Brissett was in there. Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Anthony Richardson. That's a sleeper team that could be good. They were really set back with Andrew Luck.
Yes. But here's the deal, though.
For teams, again, we're looking at maybe 6 to 8 quarterbacks going in the first round. This is the year, if you're going to suck, to grab a quarterback.
I don't think it'll be 6. I think it'll probably be like 4.
I think we're going more than 4.
I think it's going to be 4. I just feel like a lot of these quarterbacks are going to play themselves out of the first round. How often do we see years where it's like more than 4? Once every 5 or not even 5, like once every 10 years maybe. There's just not that many classes where you see tons and tons of quarterbacks going there like that. I mean, Will Levis was a guy that everybody was sure was going to be a first-round quarterback, and he played himself into the second round. I just feel like there's going to be...
So Caleb Williams for sure.
Yeah. Drake May.
Drake May's going for sure. Those two are going for sure.
Who else is a for sure thing?
Those two are definite for sure.
Those are the only two for sures I got.
I think Quinn Ewers is a first rounder.
I don't think he is.
Any mock you look at, he's in the first
round. Yeah, but again, this is mocking in August. Like, again, Spencer Rattler 2 years ago was a first round for sure quarterback. And he ended
maybe
up
three. Shakur Sanders could get in there.
I don't think Shakur Sanders is going to be there. I don't. J.J. McCarthy, no. I think he's probably going to be second
or third.
He could,
though. Like, J.J. McCarthy could get himself
in
there.
Could. I just don't think he will.
But if all goes well, you could see 5 or 6. At least, I think the high watermark says 6 at this point.
At this point.
K.J. Jefferson at Arkansas?
K.J. Jefferson's an option.
So that would be 5, and we're getting close to 6 at this point, because K.J. Jefferson. And I do think Quinn goes in the first round.
I think Quinn.
Michael Penix? He's going the first round at Washington. That's 6.
I think Penix will go first round. I don't think Quinn Ewers is going to go first round. I think he's second round quarterback. I think Bo Nix is a second round quarterback. KJ Jefferson, second
rounder. Spencer Rattler, second rounder.
Spencer Rattler is probably going to be a third or fourth rounder. I think he's going to drop. Like, that's a guy that for years.
For the hype, he's a first rounder with hype.
I don't think the hype is going to be there.
Bo Nix, too.
Like, Spencer Rattler was the top rated quarterback in the class 2 years ago. And he's transferred since, and then he stayed there for a year at South Carolina. I'm not buying Rattler. I do think he pulls that upset off against Drake May.
He was once considered the top overall pick at Oklahoma.
Then he moved. Instead of going into the draft, he got benched and then he transferred to South Carolina. I'm just not buying that.
They love him at South Carolina.
I think we're probably going to have 3.
Oh, I think 3. I'll take the over on that.
3. Right now, I'm going to say 3. We'll see 2 months from now.
Who's your third lock? So Caleb Williams.
Michael Penix Jr.
Michael Penix, all right.
Yeah, Michael Penix Jr.
And I think there's a good chance that Quinn.
I'm skeptical on Quinn Ewers. I'm very skeptical.
J.J. McCarthy can get in there.
Who?
J.J. McCarthy can get in there.
I don't think J.J.'s a first rounder. And I don't think K.J. is. I think J.J.'s probably second round. But I'm not quite sold on that. So rounding out the show here. We gotta talk about these young Chiefs wide receivers. And one guy who has stood out above all else. Your guy that you touted a lot after the draft, Rashee Rice, out of Southern Methodist University. He was the team's leading receiver. I think he had 6 catches for 85 yards. I mean, just looked like a beast after the catch. Like, you know that adage, you know, they've been talking about it a lot. He looks like a running back after the catch. He very much looked like a running back.
8 for 94.
Yeah, I was off.
No, he did. I mean, you look at the back at SMU, the pop pass. They did that a lot when he would go in motion. We've seen a lot with McCole Hardman, that kind of deal.
Hey, let's get you a quick screen, let you run after
and
the
again,
catch.
He had 96 catches. Second on that team was 37. Third on that team was 28. Chris, I mean, I don't know where to look this up, but I would like to know the gap between one and two receivers for a college football team, but 96 to 37.
I mean, he was like a Grand Canyon
Evel Knievel jump over it gap.
How many he had like over 100 receptions as well at SMU last year?
96.
96. Okay. So he was near 100, over 1,000 receiving yards. Clearly, they're number one. Not even close. There's the number two receiver was not even close.
Not even close. The whole thing with Rashee Rice is this. Some I've been saying since character concerns we were doing the draft. Said this, you found your Sammy Watkins guy. And Mahomes last week says he reminds me of Sammy Watkins, the physicality. Today, this being Monday when we record this, was asked this at the Chiefs practice today. Is he like Sammy Watkins? And he said, who said that? I'm paraphrasing here. Who said that?
Yeah.
They said Mahomes. He goes, yeah, yes then. If they would have said Bouchelle or Gabbard,
I don't know.
I don't know if he would have been like, I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Who said? Oh, Mahomes said. Okay, oh, yeah,
100%. Yeah, we good. Yeah, I like that.
And Mahomes said I look like anybody. That's who I am. So, yeah, but he's got the Sammy Watkins, the X personality. As I said with Dusty when I jumped in there talking about Rashee Rice for a second, I was looking at kind of how he plays and what they've been looking for. Because I'll go back to that regular season game with the Chiefs and Patriots. And Stephon Gilmore was coming off Defensive Player of the Year, right? He was good. Who watched? It wasn't Tyreek Hill. Stephon Gilmore was on Sammy Watkins the entire game. So much so they even got a scuffle at some point.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid texting the pictures of his ring to Juju because they wanted that fill. They didn't get him. They didn't get that Sammy Watkins type with Juju because he stayed in Pittsburgh that one year. They finally get it. But to me, and this is why I had this, Chris, and I brought the argument up. Who's got more pressure on him, Rashee Rice or Sky Moore in year one for when they were a team? Not year two with Sky Moore, year one. And I'm saying Rice because he fills a need they don't have.
So I will say this again. I've said this before about the whole Sammy Watkins, Stephon Gilmore thing. The reason why Stephon Gilmore was on Sammy is because he can't cover Tyreek. We know that. Like he can't. They'd have to bracket him anyways. So it's a waste of time.
Best defensive back in the league at that point.
Yeah, but he couldn't cover Tyreek. Nobody can cover Tyreek one on one. Like they tried Jalen Ramsey when they played the Jags in 2018. Jalen Ramsey couldn't cover him.
But there was a reason why Veach covered him.
Because he couldn't. Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did. And I think that the biggest reason why they coveted him is because he fills that possession route role that they like, because he's not going to be the big explosive guy, but he's the guy that they can run as a second option after you can catch and run after the catch. But he's not, I mean, they don't covet him the same way they covet like a Travis Kelce type. Like, let's just be honest about that. But he does fill a role that they do not have. I don't think that there's pressure on him this year because of the fact that I don't think there's going to be a ton of expectations. He still hasn't cracked the starting lineup as of now.
Well, in a rookie receiver with Reed, we've seen that.
Yeah, but I just don't think like he's going to get the playing time to warrant any pressure.
Well, I think he'll be more instrumental, I think, to the offense than what Sky Moore was last year. And maybe, I look at additions.
Maybe until Kadarius Toney gets back.
There wasn't many additions. Yeah, they bring Justin Watson back, but Richie James was the big addition. Yeah. Now, I really like the way he's playing. I do, and I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I know he's punt returner right now and kick returner because he's now over Derek Prince at returning kicks.
Yeah.
But what do we see with Tyreek? They started scaling that stuff back when it became instrumental in the offense. I think Richie James is going to be instrumental in this year's offense.
I don't think he will. I think, you know, unless KT keeps getting hurt, which is a very good chance, I think it's Kadarius Toney. I think it's MVS, and I think it's Sky Moore. And then after that, I think it's Justin Watson, number four. That's what I think.
I'd say Richie James, man.
I don't think Richie James. I think Richie James would have to be spectacular to he'd have to be really reliable because like the one thing that hurts Justin Watson is that he's not reliable all the time.
Well, he's,
like,
he's also their deep threat.
He's a deep threat, but at the same time, he's also not reliable all the time. He drops passes a lot.
And he'll get a touchdown in Arizona.
Yeah, he'll get you a touchdown, but he'll also drop a pass too on a crucial down. And so if Richie James can prove to be reliable, then all of a sudden, now he's your number four. Justin's your number five. Where's Rashee at? Who's your sixth best receiver?
But Rashee has been getting there at the ones.
He has been getting there in the ones, yeah. But like, if Kadarius was out there, would he be getting as much time with the ones?
And I'll say this too. Sky Moore, to his credit, I like the way he did. I love Sky Moore coming out of college. That's why I actually mocked him in the first round of the Chiefs.
I was a big fan of Sky Moore too.
Every practice Mahomes had in Texas, Sky Moore was right there.
Yep.
Every single one of them.
He was at Camp Pat this year.
Trying to build every single one, trying to build it up. We know his hands. We know he can catch anything thrown at him.
Yeah. And I think the Sky is going to take some big strides this year. And I think that is going, and I think once Kadarius gets back, if he can stay healthy, I think Kadarius, Sky, and MVS give you your best chance to win. They'll obviously rotate other guys in. Rasheed will get some, he'll get some options. Yeah. He'll get a few catches this year. I just don't think that they're going to rely on him at all just because you have guys who are more experienced in the offense. And I think they got guys who they think could be more dynamic.
Well, here was the snap count on the dress rehearsal game two.
Right.
First out of nine plays, first two series. MVS, 7. Sky Moore, 6. Justin Watson, 5. Rasheed Rice, 4.
Exactly.
Out of nine plays.
Yeah.
So show you how they really like Rasheed Rice.
Add KT in there, and he probably gets a lot less snaps.
Well, and Richie.
Now, he did have almost twice as many snaps as Richie James on the game with the ones. Rasheed had 11 to Richie James' 6. But I think that if Richie really shows his stuff, because he's more experienced, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt over Rasheed.
And how about Amir Smith-Marset? Here's the thing.
He's not going to make the team, but
he's
man.
He's not going to, but man. That's a guy you want to put in your practice squad, but
he's not going to stay in the
guy
practice
you
squad.
Can see, but somebody's going to grab him and throw him under 53. 100%. He's that good.
He's that good. Yeah. This is a good problem
Watch
to have.
The Chiefs cuts. That's what they like. Bienemann, these guys, they'll be watching.
I'll say this. If you're the Chiefs and you had an option to keep Justin Ross or Amir Smith-Marset, who are you keeping? Like, if it's you, who are you keeping?
Just because, well, I don't know, man.
I know, it's tough.
It is tough. It is a tough one. I like Justin Ross's size, though.
I know you do.
And I like the way that he came back from that injury, you know, in college, and then the foot, he hit two big.
But let's go with who's better right now. Who are you keeping?
I don't know. I don't, because Ross didn't have to play his last year at Clemson because he got hurt. Yeah. There was thoughts that he might never play football again with that fusion surgery and all that.
Yeah.
Thoughts he may never play again. But he did. And I give him credit that he had that foot injury and still played through it. He's just a tough guy, man. I like his will. I like the way he plays.
So you're going to go with Justin Ross?
Yeah, I'm going to go Justin Ross. I'm going to take that 6'4".
I'm going to go with Amir Smith-Marset. And
it's tough to say that, man, because I like the way Amir's playing too.
And the thing is because I don't think the Chiefs care about the size like that. Like they like the only guy that they have that's well over that 6'1" is threshold is MVS.
But he's getting run earlier.
But MVS is only on the team because of his speed, not because of his size.
But he's getting run against better defenders than Amir at this point.
Yeah. But I think the thing is I think when I look at Amir Smith-Marset, I see a kid who
has been a draft pick. He's been a draft pick in this league.
Yeah. And the thing is like this is a kid who has worked his way. He's like it's what Darius Fountain was a few years ago. Mm-hmm. You remember Darius Fountain?
Oh yeah.
And he was one of those guys you rooted for.
He's a camp guy, absolutely. See,
camp guy and he looked good. And it's like you kind of want to see that guy get a shot.
Pigeonholing there with the Fountain.
I know. And Justin
Ross could be a freaking star if he wants. There's a reason why he wasn't drafted the surgeries.
Yeah. And the injuries kind of concern me. And that's the reason
why. No one's ever played with that injury yet in his neck.
I know. And that's the reason why I'm kind of more in line with Amir Smith-Marset, because he doesn't have that injury history the same way that Justin Ross does. And like, that's a guy that knows what it's like to have to work the way up, because he wasn't gifted the way that Justin Ross. He didn't come in with the hype like Justin Ross had.
Congenital fusion in the spine.
I know.
Dabo sat down with him and the whole medical team at Clemson.
They
mom,
weren't sure if he could play.
If he ever played, but he came back.
He came back.
Then he had that stress factor.
And that's great.
Essentially a broken foot and still played.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then he missed all last season with an injury.
And he shined in the biggest games.
Yeah. Like I said, I understand that. I think I'm going to go with Smith Marset. Okay. So.
Well, he is a draft pick in this league. So.
Yeah. So that's it for this week's episode.
Oh, college football. You want to talk about the game you're looking forward,
most
forward to?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. So what's your most anticipated game this coming weekend?
You know what? I got to go Navy and Notre Dame, because we're talking about the offensive line at Notre Dame watching. 1:30 in Dublin this Saturday. Not a ton of good matchups. You get this. UMass and New Mexico State actually made ESPN at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's not a great
match. It just shows you the schedule.
Yeah, the New Mexico State Aggies
actually,
playing
football
in prime
o'clock
time.
On Saturday. It's on the Pac-12 network, which really sucks, which is why the Pac-12 is falling apart. San Jose State and USC. You want to see Caleb Williams, you know, start to roll with USC. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that game as well.
That's my game to watch. I obviously, you definitely want to watch Notre Dame game, especially if you're a Chiefs fan. Because both of their offensive tackles are going to be guys you want to watch. Notre Dame's got a lot of talent on that team this year. I'm really rooting for Marcus Freeman, their head coach. I really hope that they are a team that's in the mix down the line there. And I definitely want to get a good look at those offensive tackles.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Play this weekend is Aaron Rodgers for the Jets in their annual game against the Giants.
Which is weird.
Which is weird because it's the last preseason game of the year.
Well,
so
let me ask you this, though, too. So Anthony Richardson, your Florida guy.
Yes.
Gets the treatment.
He did. He did not play week two.
Wore street clothes, I do believe.
Yeah, he didn't play this week two.
All right. And then you got a guy like Mahomes after playing on a terrible field in Arizona
Is
that the right decision? I don't think it was. I think he should have at least taken a series or two.
Anthony Richardson should be playing this coming weekend.
As a rookie, I mean, come on.
It's not even just that. He has not played very much football in his career since high school. When he was in college, he was only a starter for 13 games.
He got the treatment, man.
They gave him an opportunity to win the job in 2021. He was not good enough to win in 2021. In 22, he basically had the job by default. That's the reason why Emory Jones transferred to Arizona State. And he never really showed that he was a superstar player. He showed spurts of it here and there, but not consistently at Florida. That's the reason why there were so many question marks about where he would be drafted at. And then he solidified his position with that great combine that he had back in February. I personally think he should be playing as many games as possible so that he can get as many reps and get used to playing NFL-style football. Because I was asked this weekend at a pool party. It's like you got a player that you draft out of college in baseball. You put them in AAA and they play there for, AA, and they play there for a month. And then after that month, you call them up to the major leagues and say, here, now try to hit major league hitting. But they were hitting barely above the Mendoza line in AA. Like, is that really the best idea?
Well, Probably not. Did you see where the Texans and was it the Saints? They were going to have a joint practice this week and they called it off. Like, able to just play the preseason.
Yeah.
They just call it off. But we saw the number one and number two pick go that had much better week twos in Young
much
and
better
CJ
this,
Stroud
this past
had better,
weekend, yeah.
Had better runs at the quarterback position for week two. Week two is the dress rehearsal, man. And yeah. Listen, I hate preseason football. I say that, but
you sent out the football is back tweet. You sent out the football is back tweet.
I enjoy it.
I understand, but
I don't want to see guys get hurt either. Like, I was concerned about the Chiefs in Arizona.
Isaiah Bolden for the Patriots. They canceled the rest of that game after he got concussed and got carted off the field. Yeah, you worry about injuries in those games. Yeah.
I mean, you know, my guy Stetson Bennett, you know, rolling with the Rams. He did throw a pick six, though, I'll be honest with you. But he played like three quarters
he did.
Against the Raiders. Aiden O'Connell, everybody's talking about him out of Purdue.
Yeah, he looked
for the Raiders.
He's really good for the Raiders.
Looking
yeah.
like maybe the best
he's been
quarterback
the best,
out there.
He's been the best preseason rookie quarterback, yeah.
We saw Clayton Tune out of Arizona.
Didn't look
we saw
great. Played Chiefs. Didn't look great. He struggled against
you get
that Chiefs
defense.
You
see Dorian Thompson Robinson this week.
DTR.
No, you get to see him against the Chiefs.
Yeah, DTR's looked very good in the preseason thus far. Like, he looks like a very solid backup quarterback to Deshaun. I
some Tanner McKee with Philly.
Yeah, I'm the one game that Anthony Richardson played in, I think you saw why you should be worried about him, but I think you also saw why you should be excited about his potential, because he did make some plays with his legs and his arm, did make some tough throws. He had a really good corner out throw that he made. It's just he hasn't played enough football, and I think he's going to make a lot of mistakes this year, and I just don't want the Colts to be, you know, like, he sucks, and then 2 years from now, they're looking for another quarterback because they're terrible, and you know,
it's six or seven straight years that they've had a different starting quarterback.
Yeah, because like, what happens if they're the worst team in football? What, and it'd be tough because the Cardinals are bad.
At the end of Lock, then you got Rivers thrown in there, and
like, because the Cardinals are a bad team.
Wins.
Cardinals could very well be in play for that number one. But what if the Colts get the number one? You got Caleb Williams sitting there, and he looks like a surefire superstar, and you've got this developmental guy in Anthony Richardson. It could very well be a Josh Rosen type situation where he gets traded after 1 year, and now they're, you know, he's having to start over with a new team, new offense, new terminology, and the Colts go another direction. I don't want that to happen to Anthony, so I'm kind of worried about that situation.
Well, you look at what they've had since Andrew Luck.
It's been bad.
Matt Hasselbeck, the Josh Freeman, Andrew Luck year there. Then
yep.
Then Jacoby Brissett was in there. Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan, Anthony Richardson. That's a sleeper team that could be good. They were really set back with Andrew Luck.
Yes. It
but here's the
really
deal,
set
though.
Them back.
For teams, again, we're looking at maybe 6 to 8 quarterbacks going in the first round. This is the year, if you're going to suck, to grab a quarterback.
I don't think it'll be 6. I think it'll probably be like 4. I think
we're going more than 4.
I think it's going to be 4. I just feel like a lot of these quarterbacks are going to play themselves out of the first round. I mean, how often do we see years where it's like more than 4? Once every 5 or not even 5, like once every 10 years maybe. There's just not that many classes where you see tons and tons of quarterbacks going there like that. I mean, Will Levis was a guy that everybody was sure was going to be a first-round quarterback, and he played himself into the second round. I just feel like there's going to be...
So Caleb Williams for sure.
Yeah. Drake May.
Drake May's going for sure. Those two are going for sure.
Who else is a for sure thing?
Those two are definite for sure.
Those are the only two for sure's I got.
I think Quinn Ewers is a first rounder.
I don't think he is.
Any mock you look at, he's in the first
round. Yeah, but again, this is mocking in August. Like, again, Spencer Rattler 2 years ago was a first round for sure quarterback. And he had
maybe 3. Shakur Sanders could get in there.
I don't think Shedeur Sanders is going to be there. J.J. McCarthy, no. I think he's probably going to be second
he
or third.
He could, though. Like, J.J. McCarthy could get himself
very well
in
could.
There.
I just don't think he will.
But if all goes well, you could see 5 or 6. At least, I think the high watermark says 6 at this point.
At this point.
K.J. Jefferson at Arkansas?
K.J. Jefferson's an option.
So that would be 5, and we're getting they're close to 6 at this point, because K.J. Jefferson. And I do think Quinn goes in the first round.
I think Quinn.
Michael Penix? He's going the first round at Washington. That's 6.
I think Penix will go first round. I don't think Quinn Ewers is going to go first round. I think he's second round quarterback. I think Bo Nix is a second round quarterback. KJ Jefferson, second
round. Spencer Rattler, second rounder.
Spencer Rattler is probably going to be a third or fourth rounder. I think he's going to drop. Like, that's a guy that for years.
For the hype, he's a first rounder with hype.
I don't think the hype is going to be
Nix too.
Like, Spencer Rattler was the top rated quarterback in the class 2 years ago. And he's transferred since, and then he stayed there for a year at South Carolina. I'm not buying Rattler. I do think he pulls that upset off against Drake May.
He was once considered the top overall pick at Oklahoma.
I know, and then he was, and then after that, instead of going into the draft, he got benched, and then he transferred to South Carolina. I'm just not buying that.
They love him at South Carolina.
I think we're probably going to have 3.
Oh, I think 3. I'll take the over on that.
3. Right now, I'm going to say 3. We'll see 2 months from now.
Who's your third lock? So Caleb Williams.
Michael Penix Jr.
Michael Penix, all right.
Yeah, Michael Penix Jr.
And I think there's a good chance that Quinn.
I'm skeptical on Quinn Ewers. I'm very skeptical.
J.J. McCarthy can get in there.
Who?
J.J. McCarthy can get in there.
I don't think J.J. gets in. I don't think J.J.'s a first rounder. And I don't think K.J. is. I think J.J.'s probably second round. But I'm not quite sold on that. So rounding out the show here, we gotta talk about these young Chiefs wide receivers. And one guy who has stood out above all else, your guy that you touted a lot after the draft, Rashee Rice, out of Southern Methodist University. He was the team's leading receiver. I think he had 6 catches for 85 yards. I mean, just looked like a beast after the catch. Like, you know that adage, you know, they've been talking about it a lot. You know, he looks like a running back after the catch. He very much looked like a running back.
Eight for 94.
Eight for 94. Yeah, I was off.
No, he doesn't. I mean, you look at his, you know, back at SMU, the pop pass, they did that a lot when he would go in motion. We've seen a lot with Mecole Hardman, that kind of deal.
Hey, let's get you a quick screen and let you run after the catch.
He had 96 catches. Second on that team was 37. Third on that team was 28. Chris, I mean, I don't know where to look this up, but I would like to know the gap between 1 and 2 receivers for a college football team. But 96 to 37.
I mean, it was like a Grand Canyon, yard receiver.
Evel Knievel jump over it gap.
How many he had like over 100 receptions as well at SMU last year?
96.
96. Okay. So he was near 100, over 1,000 receiving yards. Clearly their number one. Not even close. There's the number two receiver was not even close.
Not even close. The whole thing with Rashee Rice is this. I've been saying since character concerns we were doing the draft. Said this, you found your Sammy Watkins guy. And Mahomes last week says he reminds me of Sammy Watkins, the physicality. Today, this being Monday when we record this, was asked this at the Chiefs practice today. Is he like Sammy Watkins? And he said, who said that? I'm paraphrasing here. Who said that?
Yeah.
They said Mahomes. He goes, yeah, yes then. If they would have said Michelle or Gabbert, I don't know if he would have been like, I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Who said? Oh, Mahomes said. Okay, oh, yeah,
we good. Yeah, I like that.
If Mahomes said I look like anybody, that's who I am. So, yeah, but he's got the Sammy Watkins, the X personality. As I said with Dusty when I jumped in there talking about Rashee Rice for a second, I was looking at kind of how he plays and what they've been looking for. Because I'll go back to that regular season game with the Chiefs and Patriots. And Stephon Gilmore was coming off Defensive Player of the Year, right? He was good. Who watched? It wasn't Tyreek Hill. Stephon Gilmore was on Sammy Watkins the entire game. So much so they even got a scuffle at some point.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid texting the pictures of his ring to Juju because they wanted that fill. They didn't get him. They didn't get that Sammy Watkins type with Juju because he stayed in Pittsburgh that one year. They finally get it. But to me, and this is why I had this, Chris, and I brought the argument up, who's got more pressure on him, Rashee Rice or Sky Moore in year one for when they were a team? Not year two with Sky Moore, year one. And I'm saying Rice because he fills a need they don't have.
So I will say this again. I've said this before about the whole Sammy Watkins, Stephon Gilmore thing. The reason why Stephon Gilmore was on Sammy is because he can't cover Tyreek. We know that. Like he can't. They'd have to bracket him anyways. So it's a waste of time.
He's the best defensive back in the league at that point.
Yeah, but he couldn't cover Tyreek. Nobody could cover Tyreek one on one. Like they tried Jalen Ramsey when they played the Jags in 2018. Jalen Ramsey couldn't cover him.
But there was a reason why Veach covered him.
Because he couldn't. Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did. And I think that the biggest reason why they coveted him is because he fills that possession route role that they like, because he's not going to be the big explosive guy, but he's the guy that they can run as a second option after you can catch and run after the catch. But he's not, I mean, they don't covet him the same way they covet like a Travis Kelce type. Like, let's just be honest about that. But he does fill a role that they do not have. I don't think that there's pressure on him this year because of the fact that I don't think there's going to be a ton of expectations. He still hasn't cracked the starting lineup as of now.
Well, in a rookie receiver with Reed, we've seen that.
Yeah, but I just don't think like he's going to get the playing time to warrant any pressure.
Well, I think he'll be more instrumental, I think, to the offense than what Sky Moore was last year. And maybe, I look at additions.
Kadarius Toney gets back.
There wasn't many additions. Yeah, they bring Justin Watson back, but Richie James was the big addition. Yeah. Now, I really like the way he's playing. I do, and I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I know he's punt returner right now and kick returner because he's now over Denerick Prince at returning kicks.
Yeah.
But what do we see with Tyreek? They started scaling that stuff back when it became instrumental in the offense. I think Richie James is going to be instrumental in this year's offense.
I don't think he will. I think, you know, unless KT keeps getting hurt, which is a very good chance, I think it's Kadarius Toney. I think it's MVS, and I think it's Sky Moore. And then after that, I think it's Justin Watson number 4. That's why I think
I'd say Richie James, man.
I don't think Richie James. I think Richie James would have to be spectacular to he'd have to be really reliable, because like the one thing that hurts Justin Watson is that he's not reliable all the time.
Well, he's also their deep threat.
He's a deep threat, but at the same time, he's also not reliable all the time. He drops passes a lot.
He'll get a touchdown in Arizona.
Yeah, he'll get you a touchdown, but he'll also drop a pass too on a crucial down. And so if Richie James can prove to be reliable, then all of a sudden, now he's your number four, Justin's your number five. Where's Rashee at? He's your sixth best receiver.
But Rashee has been getting there at the ones.
He has been getting there in the ones, yeah. But if Kadarius was out there, would he be getting as much time with the ones?
And I'll say this too, Sky Moore, to his credit, I like the way he did it. I love Sky Moore coming out of college. That's why I actually mocked him in the first round of the Chiefs.
I was a big fan of Sky Moore, too.
Every practice Mahomes had in Texas, Sky Moore was right there.
Yep.
Every single one of them.
He was at Camp Pat this year.
Trying to build every single one, trying to build it up. We know his hands. We know he can catch anything thrown at him.
Yeah, and I think the Sky is going to take some big strides this year, and I think that is going – and I think once Kadarius gets back, if he can stay healthy, I think – Kadarius, Sky, and MVS give you your best chance to win. They'll obviously rotate other guys in. Rashee will get some. He'll get some options. Yeah. He'll get a few catches this year. I just don't think that they're going to rely on him at all, just because you have guys who are more experienced in the offense. And I think they got guys who they think could be more dynamic.
Well, here was the snap count on the dress rehearsal game two.
Right.
First out of nine plays. First two series. MVS 7. Sky Moore 6. Justin Watson 5, Rashee Rice 4.
Exactly.
Out of 9 plays.
Yeah.
So that shows how they really like Rashee Rice.
Add KT in there, and he probably gets a lot less snaps.
Well, and Richie.
Now, he did have almost twice as many snaps as Richie James on the game with the ones. Rashee had 11 to Richie James's 6. But I think that if Richie really shows his stuff, because he's more experienced, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt over Rashee.
And how about Amir Smith-Marset? Here's the thing.
He's not going to make the team, but
that's a guy you want to put in your practice squad, but
he's not going to stay in the
guy
practice
you
squad.
But somebody's going to grab him and throw him under 53. 100%. He's that good.
Yeah. This is a good problem
Watch
to have.
The Chiefs cuts. That's what they like. Be enemy and these guys, they'll be watching.
I'll say this. If you're the Chiefs and you had an option to keep Justin Ross or Amir Smith-Marset, who are you keeping? Like, if it's you, who are you keeping?
Just because, well, I don't know, man.
I know, it's tough.
It is a tough one. I like Justin Ross's size, though.
I know you do.
And I like the way he came back from that injury. You know,
let's go with
college,
who's
and
better.
Then the footing hit too big.
But let's go with who's better right now. Who are you keeping?
I don't know. I don't know, because Ross didn't have to play his last year at Clemson because he got hurt. There was thoughts that he might never play football again with that fusion surgery and all that.
Yeah.
Thoughts he may never play again. But he did. And I give him credit that he had that foot injury and still played through it. He's just a tough guy, man. I like his will. I like the way he plays.
So you're going to go with Justin Ross?
Yeah, I'm going to go Justin Ross. I'm going to take that 6'4".
I'm going to go with Amir Smith-Marset. And
it's tough to say that, man, because I like the way Amir's playing too.
And the thing is because I don't think the Chiefs care about the size like that. Like the only guy that they have that's well over that 6'1" threshold is MVS.
But he's getting run earlier.
But MVS is only on the team because of his speed, not because of his size.
But he's getting run against better defenders than Amir at this point.
Yeah. But I think the thing is I think when I look at Amir Smith-Marset, I see a kid who
it's been a draft pick. He's been a draft pick in this league.
Yeah. And the thing is like, this is a kid who has worked his way. He's like, it's what Darius Fountain was a few years ago. Mm-hmm. You remember Darius Fountain?
Oh, yeah.
And he was one of those guys you rooted for.
He's a camp guy, absolutely.
Camp guy, and he looked good. And it's like, you kind of want to see that guy get a shot.
Pigeonholing him there with the Fountain.
I know. And
Justin Ross could be a freaking star if he wants to. There's a reason why he wasn't drafted, the surgeries.
Yeah. And the injuries kind of concern me. And that's the reason
why. No one's ever played with that injury he had in his neck.
I know. And that's the reason why I'm kind of more in line with Amir Smith-Marset, because he doesn't have that injury history the same way that Justin Ross does. And like, that's a guy that knows what it's like to have to work the way up, because he wasn't gifted the way that Justin Ross. He didn't come in with the hype like Justin Ross had.
Congenital fusion in the spine.
I know.
They both sat down with him and the whole medical team at Clemson.
They
mom,
weren't sure if he could play
if
anymore.
He ever played, but he came back.
He came back.
Then he had that stress factor.
And that's great.
Essentially a broken foot and still played.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then he missed all last season with an injury. That.
And he shined in the biggest games.
Yeah. Like I said, I understand that. I think I'm going to go with Smith more. Okay. So.
Well, he is a draft pick in this league. So.
Yeah. So that's it for this week's episode.
Oh, college football. You want to talk about the game you're looking forward, forward to?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. So what's your most anticipated game this coming weekend?
You know what? I got to go Navy and Notre Dame because we're talking about the offensive line at Notre Dame watching. 1:30 in Dublin. This Saturday, not a ton of good matchups. You get this UMass and New Mexico State actually made ESPN at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's not a great
matchup. Just shows you the schedule.
Yeah, the New Mexico State Aggies
actually,
playing
football
in
7 o'clock on Saturday. It's on the Pac-12 network, which really sucks, is why the Pac-12's falling apart. San Jose State and USC. You want to see Caleb Williams, you know, start to roll with USC. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that game as well.
That's my game to watch. I obviously, you definitely want to watch Notre Dame game, especially if you're a Chiefs fan, because both of their offensive tackles are going to be guys you want to watch. Notre Dame's got a lot of talent on that team this year. I'm really rooting for Marcus Freeman, their head coach. I really hope that they are a team that's in the mix down the line there. And I definitely want to get a good look at those offensive tackles they got there.
Then the following Thursday, you're going to have South Dakota, Missouri. It's SEC Network.
Utah, Florida, 7 o'clock.
Most State and KU, yep. 7 o'clock on Friday, ESPN Plus.
Yep.
And then you got SEMO and K-State on Saturday.
Yeah, and
at 6 o'clock on
we'll break down those matchups a little bit more probably next week
for those guys. Yeah, for week guys, one yeah. though, that's the
yeah
week one's the. I mean, it's UMass, New Mexico State, Ohio, San Diego State, Hawaii, Vanderbilt, again, San Jose State, USC. Even though USC is a 30.5-point favorite in this game, because you want to see what Caleb Williams.
And that's my
interest in this.
That's my game.
But this is high school football week, man. This is Missouri showcase.
Yeah, there'll be some high school games on ESPN this weekend.
Navy Notre Dame to me is the highlight because Notre Dame 13th in the country.
Yeah,
Navy's always fun to watch. Notre Dame 20.5-point favorite in that game.
I think I want to see obviously the alignment at Notre Dame. I want to see Caleb Williams. I want to see him start off his defense of his Heisman Trophy. And really show that he's worth the kind of hype he's getting. Because, again, we've talked about this a few weeks ago. It seems a little bit over the top there as far as the Mahomes comparisons. I want to see if, with the pressure now, can he live up to that?
He's lived up to a lot of stuff, and he's talked a big game, too.
He's talked a big game, too.
But
you're talking a big game, and when you have a lot of hype there, people are going to start asking some questions about you.
I'm going to watch that, but if you want to watch the offensive line play, watch Notre Dame with Joe Walt at one of the tackles and Blake Fisher on the other side, the two bookends there for Notre Dame.
So that is this week's edition of the Character Concerns podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast on all platforms that you listen to. We appreciate you guys listening to us as always. We'll be back next week to preview some more college football matchups, preview another position group to watch out for this coming season. Plus, next week, since we will actually have more games to talk about, because next week will be week one of the college football season, we'll give you some key matchups for prospects as a Chiefs fan that you can watch out
going.
For. All the local teams will be playing, so we'll get you hyped up for that. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Ocero. Thanks for listening, guys.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.